Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Praise God.
Would you all stand with me? We're going to read the Word of God. Give the Lord a big hand right now. He's good. Come on. Praise God. We're going to go to John chapter 4. I'm going to start a kind of a little bit of a series talking about people who thirst. And I'll define that for you in a few moments. We're going to start with John chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 14. And if you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me as we read them. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Here it comes. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For your disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. When the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Verse 14 together. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just taking a journey for a few weeks talking about the thirst that the world has and how you satisfy it to the place where we never thirst again, that we can come to you over and over and over again. Lord, we came here thirsty people this morning. You've already surrounded us and surpassed our understanding because you filled us with your love and your grace and your power and your anointing and your healing and all these things. We can always come to you. Holy Spirit, teach us through your word today. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory because you're an awesome God. And we thank you for all these things. In the name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, when you think about it, the majority of people in the developed world have gotten used to the fact that change is inevitable and that it will intercept you at various avenues of life. And besides that, besides the obvious technological advances that seem to change on a weekly basis, values, principles, and other anchors for living have left men longing for the satisfaction to quench the thirst that goes beyond the senses and reaches to the spirit and to the soul. A lot of things that we kind of attribute to people as far as sin and such like that, really, honestly and truly, it's thirst for something better than what you've got. And the devil's quick to give you something as a substitute.
Amen.
I want to read you something that, excuse me, it was by Dr. Bob Moorhead. He pastored a church up in Seattle for many, many years, and now he's retired. But this is what he said. "We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Wide freeways, but narrower points of view. We spend more and have less. We have bigger houses but smaller families. More conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. More experts yet more problems. We have more gadgets but less satisfaction. More medicine but yet less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too much, spend too recklessly, we laugh too little, drive too fast, get angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, and too seldom, and read too seldom, watch too much TV, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We love too seldom and lie too often. We've learned how to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. There's a thirst for something different. I want to tell you, come to the right place at the right time, because we're going to open up a conversation that I believe that will change your life and probably people that you're in contact with forever. Because we're going to talk about the thirst quencher, but I'll give you a little bit of background and ask a few questions of you first before we even jump into this. Number one, have you found yourself thirsting for something only to discover disappointment once the opportunity to address it is fulfilled? Ever bought something and found out it wasn't like you thought it was? Got it out of the box, looked good on the box, and all those other times looked good on TV? My mother was a gadget person. She bought every gadget, every Vegematic, every type of thing that you could name. All the ones that are supposed to slice and dice and do all kind of crazy stuff. She had a whole drawer of none of it. She used it three times and she's done. I know you've never done that, but that's okay. We're talking about her. She gone anyway. She won't say nothing. But the satisfaction was gone. Let me move on. Number two, have you allowed yourself to exist in survival mode, hoping that you can survive until your life has come to an end? Some of you are trying to coast into the finish line and try to make it. If we can just make it through to the finish line, we'll be okay. There's something wrong with that. I believe you should thrive rather than survive. I believe these are the best years that you're in. I don't care if you're in your 20s or if you're in your 70s or in your 80s. These should be the best years you have. And some of us thirst to have purpose and something that's really going on. Number three, do you long for significance and value to come into your life in order to make a difference in the lives of others? Or are you just riding it out? Well, God has desire to quench the thirst of thirsty people. And Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 just kind of sets the stage. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What kind of place is that? He said, I want something in this store, but I ain't got no money. God gives us a divine invitation that is not monetarily, doesn't make sense on a monetary sense, but God says, I want you, if you're thirsty, you can come. If you're thirsty, I can supply everything you need. And, you know, and come, he said, you have no money, and come and buy and eat. How can you buy when you have no money? I'll tell you what, the price has already been paid. If you're thirsty this morning, I need to tell you something before I get into this message. The price has already been paid. Whatever you need, it's been paid for. I've had this happen to me on occasion. I've been to a particular place. I'm getting ready to leave, you know, look for the bill. As a matter of fact, it happened to my wife and I the other day. And I'll give you the real short version of the story. So a gentleman, many years ago, we were over on Holiday Street. I don't even know what I did. But for some reason, you know, this man thinks I did something wonderful. And so we went to a restaurant. Actually, it was one of the really nice restaurants here in town. Went there to have lunch, and we're going to some other place. And so we're sitting down. We had our lunch as far as that's concerned. And I saw the fellow when I walked in the place. And I've seen several different places. And he greeted me real nice and gave me a hug. And we sat down. We had our lunch, this type of thing. And we got the bill. And the bill said 000. You owe nothing. Huh? And I remember he had said something to me a long time ago. And he says, as long as I am in the restaurant business, you will never pay another penny for a meal. You, your wife, whoever you bring in here, it's on me. It's already been paid for. You say, does that happen? I know. Ask my wife. We had free lunch. But you don't understand. How do people do that? There's something that God can supply, and you feel so unworthy. So, well, I really can't. You aren't taking anything. The price has already been paid. The devil keeps people in hostage for something that God, that Jesus has already paid for. Well, and then the second verse of that, I got to get the second verse. Look, why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. You spend your money and your wages for what does not satisfy. Dr. Moorhead says you buy bigger houses and bigger this and bigger that, and you're still not happy. You know, I know people, they go out and have a really sumptuous meal, and after they leave the place, oh, their stomach may be full, but they're still hungry. You see what I mean? You thought it was going to do something for you, and it didn't happen. I'm here to suggest to you, or even to put before you today, that God has given us the ability to not only have our thirst quenched, but be able to go to other people and to be an advocate for what he's about to do. Well, the thirst and desire for significance has always been in the hearts of people. First of all, thriving at the wellspring of life is the most sought after place in the life of every person. When a person just thrives. I remember Kaiser started that little, you know, campaign that says, thrive. We want you to thrive. Which is great. It's a great tagline. You don't want you to survive. We want you to thrive. We want you to enjoy your life. Well, it looks like this. Spiritual thirst is something that cannot be ignored by us. And you can come to this service today, and I promise you, if you're not tuned into the Holy Spirit, you will be no better than when you walk through those doors. I'm not kidding you. I'm saying that I don't see myself as profound or eloquent or whatever. But when we really have a thirst, that thirst will be satisfied. Jesus says, I will quench your thirst. I will satisfy you. But unfortunately, we come with the wrong motive. We want to hear something new. We want a quick fix. Part of the having the thirst fixed. Do you thirst for righteousness? The Bible says, he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Is that the word of God? But some of you don't want to be right. I just want to be better. Better and right are not the same thing. I just don't want it to hurt so bad. I want temporary relief. Get some aspirin. But if you want deliverance, get a hold of Jesus and he'll take care of what you need. See, that's our problem is we come here for a temporary thing. I just want to go to church so I can feel better, so I don't just go off and hurt somebody. Honey, I can't help you with that because it's still in you and it may manifest when I'm not around. Well, look at it from this point. It really boils down to significance and satisfaction that our life means something to us and to other people. I believe the greatest thirst that people have is not only to belong to something, but to belong to someone. The thirst for belonging, to be a part of something significant that is unsurpassed, that there's no one greater than, that ability is given to you, and we'll talk more about it in just a moment. Well, living a life that has abundance, significance, is our desire. We desire to be loved and to be loved, and our quest for satisfying our thirst cannot be ignored. I believe we have a lot of distractions. And if you're not careful, any of us, we're not careful, we will get involved in distractions that will keep us from really, you know, addressing the real issues. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the thing about Facebook. The reason why I'm not on Facebook is I don't have time. Now, if you got all the kind of honey, enjoy yourself. But I just don't have time. And it's not one of those things I would spend a lot of time with. But at the same time, when people would go to that particular stream, there's something they're looking for. And Jesus says, I'm the one. Well, abundant life can be accomplished by those people, you know, who can be only saved by those who admit their thirst And obviously the price has been paid, but we often spend our resources looking for the things that Jesus already provided us through the cross. And how about this? We often will spend our time pursuing those things that cannot satisfy us, satisfy the things that we really thirst for, which means our soul was designed to delight in the abundance of what God provides. You were designed to be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And nothing else can replace that. Well, here we go. The satisfaction of meeting the needs of thirsty people is the very foundation of the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. This is a good piece. He says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Amen. I want to take that and unpack it just for a moment or two. It's one of the greatest thirsts that we have is to make an impact and a difference, not just in our life, but in somebody else's life. And I tell you what, you will not be satisfied until you come to that place where it's a natural outflow of who you are. I mean, it's wonderful to receive blessings from other folks. Hallelujah with that. But there's something even greater than that when you can pour out from yourself, from the abundance of what God has done for you, and you're making a difference in someone else's life. And so Jesus is giving this tremendous illustration. You know, he says, and he's talking to his disciples. He's saying, you know, "I want to tell you about thirst, and I want to tell you about this whole thing." He says, "Oh, if you're thirsty and this type of thing." And he says, "I want to thank you for being," he says, "well, wait, whoa, when did we do this?" He says, "Whenever you minister in my name to a person that's broken, a person that's hungry, a person that's in need," he says, "and you're satisfying their thirst, you're doing it in my name, you're doing it unto me." There needs to be a paradigm shift in the way that we use the resources of our energy in our life toward meeting the needs of people in the world. And through these next few weeks and actually a few months, I think that paradigm shift will occur, because a lot of times we feel like the only people we're obligated to help are Christian people. You know, I tell you, Christian people can be weird, but that's another story. And we feel that all of our resources should be reserved for those people that, you know, that don't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. Huh? I want to change the way that you think, because when you really stop and think about it, the people that Jesus invited to be a part of his team were people that you would not want for your next door neighbor. Peter was a clown, okay? The dude, he had issues. He had major issues. You would not want him living next door to you, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going fishing, making all kind of racket, swearing at you, and doing all kind of strange things, looking like a, you know, unmade bed most of the time. And with all this gear all over the parking lot, you know. And Jesus says to him, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." You're thinking, "Jesus, are you serious? This guy, really?" And the guy proves himself to be an idiot later on. He says all kinds of crazy things. He does obnoxious things. Jesus has to call him the devil a few times. I mean, really. But Jesus saw something in him. And God needs to take the scales off your eyes so you can see something beyond the veneer of who people look like and see them for who they are, and God will use you to bring them into his kingdom. Somebody say amen. It's time to shift gears, folks. Because in other words, you folks spend all your time looking for nice people. Oh, they work lovely in their home group. Oh, they're very nice. He's got a good job. His kids are just very well behaved. His lawn is mowed. You know, his car is clean. Perfect people we need. Okay? I'm going to leave that alone because I can get sidetracked. Jesus always addresses the primary needs of people. Before we can preach the kingdom, we must learn to live by its principles. And that means we give and show love by ministering to the needs of people who we encounter in our daily lives. Some people say, I want to just go to a place and pass out tracts and run away. How about you helping that person that you know in line that doesn't have the other 50 cents to buy the milk that they need to give their child, and they're just kind of fumbling around for it? How about you just putting a dollar on the counter and helping them out? And you don't need to know their name, they don't need to know yours, but you do it in Jesus' name. This is how the kingdom works, folks. But we're trying to have something totally different. We want to organize a campaign. You are a campaign, a walking campaign, a walking representation of who Jesus is, and you will encounter people every day of your life to make a difference. Wow. And before we leave here, I want you to look for ways to make a difference next week. And don't tell nobody your name. Here's my card. Put your card away. Put your card away. Well, we must get in touch with the basic needs of mankind in order to meet the eternal need of the soul. And that means loving people begins with looking beyond their faults and seeing their need. Andre Crouch wrote that song years ago. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. The church is coming in contact with the biggest challenge it will ever have from this point on. How are we going to treat the people that now have been sanctioned by our state to smoke marijuana recreationally? How are you going to treat them? How are you going to treat people in same-sex marriages that move in next door to you? I'm just going to ignore them in Jesus' name. And pray that I'm just going to fast and pray and pray the devil out of them. Why don't you love Jesus into them? Take the flip side. You say, I just couldn't defile my... Your values, honey. If your values go beyond the fact of loving people, your values are no good. You say, what happened to you? Nothing happened to me. It's just a treating people like they're people. Okay, I know. Some of you folks need a little evidence. Jesus comes on to a bunch of religious folks. You know what they're doing? They are stoning a lady who is a prostitute. Now, in the ghetto, they say, she's a hoe. I know I said that, so that's a little shot. That's about as far as I'm going to go anyway, so. And she's hoeing around, okay. See, I've reached some folks you'll never reach, okay. But here's the deal. And these folks, they're ganged up, they're ready to throw rocks at her, this type of thing. And Jesus gets down on his knees, and he starts writing in the dirt. Now, there's been a lot of speculation what he wrote. He could have wrote down the Ten Commandments. He could have wrote down, you know, all kind of different things. But I think he probably wrote down the names of their girlfriends. Shalanda Elaine. Joberta Eloise, all them girls. And he says, he was without them. And the Bible says, and one by one, they left and they walked away. And then the Lord says to her, he says, where are your accusers? She says, I have none. And you know what Jesus said to her? Go your way and sin no more. You say, is it that easy? When you love people who are expecting condemnation, and you're able to say, go your way and sin no more. The power of Jesus' word over someone's life, you don't have to do anything except loving people, and God will bring the conviction, and they have to respond to what he told them to do. Don't sin anymore. Well, what's this have to do with thirst? It has everything to do with it. When we operate in love, we basically will find ourselves, we are operating in a perfect will of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. I got a lot of scripture for you today, so I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true, the right and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You don't have to beat people up to bring them to Jesus. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. And it just says, you know, converting. The law of God will convert. You say, well, you have to just preach and tell them how badly they're in sin and this type of thing. Do you know where they will find out the preaching of the Word of God? When the Word of God is in you and you act like you know Jesus. You let Jesus show through you through your actions. Well, what does that mean? It means loving people begins with us looking at that place in our lives that this, that's kind of going directly against what God would say. When we operate in the love of God, we will restore people to the place where God has always intended for them to be. I hope that God will give us prophetic eyes and ears to see and to hear where people could be. Everybody's got a story. If you'll take the time to listen to someone's story, they'll tell you that there's a good number of people that are not in the kingdom of God or not in church today because of Christians that weren't living like Christians. Hello. Or they were in church and all they preached was hellfire, damnation, this type of thing. And there is a hell. There is a devil. I need to tell you that. But that's not all there is to the story. There's a Jesus, and there is sanctification, and there is healing, and there is love, and there's restoration, and there's a heart, and there's a place for you in eternity. That's the other side of the occasion. You don't have to. God didn't anoint you to be the Holy Ghost police. Good Lord, put your gun in your holster, sweetie. Come on, work with me. The law of the Lord is perfect. This is the first thing it will do in its thirsting aspect. It will restore the soul to its original purpose. Every person that is outside the kingdom of God is not accomplishing their original purpose. God had purpose and design for every person in here. If you're not operating in the realm of the kingdom, you're there's still a thirst when you say, I really wondered what it would be like if I knew I was in the right relationship with God. And I really want to tell somebody else about him. I want to tell you, the law of the Lord will restore the soul. Next thing it'll do, it'll renew the mind and remove those depression thoughts, those suicidal thoughts of my life isn't worth it. I might as well just check out early. If you knew some of the agendas of the devil who uses other people, there are several agendas that he had in mind. The same-sex marriage was part of it. The marijuana thing's part of it. You know what the next thing is? Death with dignity. Death with dignity. That's the next one. They're just rolling down the list. And what they want to tell you is your life doesn't have significance. And if you want to leave out of it early, or if you have a particular terminal illness as far as it's concerned, check out. This actually happened. This lady, I was listening to the news the other day. I think she's 83 or something like this. Oh, maybe she, no, she was 90 something. Don't you know? Doctor came, there she's dead, blah, 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 and this other type of stuff. And they shipped her off to the mortuary. 12 hours later, she wakes up. Live and kicking. Reva, I can't imagine the mortuary person who found her. You know, they're probably selling carpet now. I don't know what they're doing. They took her home. She's doing fine. You know, and they did all the vital things. They put all the mirror in front. They did all the stuff, checked her out. She was, you know, flat dead. It's not over till he says it's over. See, you know, you say, well, I just got this terminal illness and I just need to die with dignity. God can heal you like that. You got to put your trust in him. He will make the final say. But see, that's what they're trying to say. Oh, no, God doesn't know what he's doing. We know better. We know what's merciful. We know what's humane. We know about suffering. And no one should suffer. Really? You got too many rides in Disneyland. That's all I know. Well, when Jesus seeks out, it will cause the heart to rejoice in salvation. It will bring the fear of the Lord with truth and righteousness. I want to just enter into the story just for a moment or two. I'm not going to finish by any means today. But Jesus seeks out thirsty people. If we go to the fourth chapter, John 4:4, this is the place. But he needed to go through Samaria. I didn't realize how profound that verse is. I believe that that verse sets the framework for not only the miracle, but for our lives, when there's certain things in our lives that we need to do, we may not believe we need to do them, but God says differently. But the Bible says, you know, she needed to go through Samaria. Why? The Bible says the steps of a righteous man, good man, are ordered of the Lord. I believe that every step, every day that you have, even though you're kind of routine, I'm pretty routine about things I do, but they're ordered of the Lord. But there's sometimes that God says, I want to interrupt the way you normally do this. I want you to go this way. I had this weird thought. I'm going to put it out here and you do whatever you want with it. What if? The Lord says, I want you just this week or just tomorrow, I want you to get up early. Instead of driving your car to work, I want you to get on the Max and ride the Max to work. You say, oh, I couldn't do that. There's crazy people on the Max. I could get mugged. I could do all kinds of horrible things could happen. You guys are okay because I got one of the Max supervisors that's over here that goes to our church, and he'll take care of you. He'll help you out. But no, my point is this, is that God wants to alter your steps so it can impact the kingdom. But some of us, we're not open to allowing God to change our routine. But the Bible says that Jesus himself needed to go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? It's a headache. You know, Samaritans and Jews don't have anything to do with each other. What's that to do with India? The Holy Spirit has to have the right of way to change your routine and to put it into a different means so it can cause the kingdom to be put forth. Now, I don't say that out of any criticism of anyone, but there's times when the Lord says, get on the Max, and think, oh, Jesus. But every single time, something significant happens that I'm able to touch somebody's life. Because, of course, you have the other people, the religious folks. Oh, Pastor, what you doing on the Max? Your car broke? I know what they really want to say. You didn't make the payment? They're afraid to say that one. But that's how we are. But when you say, no, this is what I want to do. Really? You know, it takes a lot of time. Why'd you do that? Because Jesus put me on the Max today. My question is, can the Lord take you out of your routine to accomplish something specific that will advance the kingdom of God? Don't answer it yet. I'll let the Holy Spirit work on you. And by the time you get home, God help you. Okay. Well, here we go. It was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. In order to deal with our thirst, we must confront the river of ritual. Always doing it the way you feel comfortable doing it. Ritual. Religion. Same, they're cousins. Jesus was in a place where he really was not welcomed as a foreigner. Are you afraid of not being welcomed by any group of people? You kind of just shrink back. How about this? He was in a place, listen to the word here, of spiritual dehydration. In order for them to survive, they need to be hydrated by the Spirit of God. My question for you, are we living in a city that's overcome by spiritual dehydration? Wave your hand at me if you believe that. But you know what? You're commissioned to bring living water to every single one of those folks. I'm not going to tell you which ones, but I'm going to tell you how to do it. And you'll identify the ones you're supposed to do it, and I tell you, and there will be joy that will fill this house like it's never filled it before. Somebody say amen. I'm getting excited. Glory to God. I'm going to do a little bit more, and then I'm going to quit in a minute, okay? Well, Jesus did not go out of his way to meet this woman. You say, what do you mean? He went through. Because see, that's our problem. We feel like we have to go out of our way. No, when you obey the Spirit, you are in the right way. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. But when we're in the realm of the Spirit, it's a whole different experience. Meeting this woman was a part of God's plan for her and for her people. Remember, it's not just her, because we're going to finish the story in a few weeks, but you're going to find out it wasn't just her, but she goes back and she tells all of her people. If you think it's just for one person that you're going to do this, do you realize that that's the expanse of exponentially of meeting other people? It starts with one, but it spreads to many. Oh my. The devil will put you in this minimalizing situation where you feel like you're just doing so little. Oh, what difference does that make? Oh my goodness. Well, here we go. We must realize there are people from all cultures and races that God may send us to. The big thing in the church right now is multiculturalism throughout the United States. If you pick up Christianity Today magazine, they have this huge article, page after page, about multiculturalism. And I tell you, I said, y'all about 37 years too late, because God has had us multicultural from the very beginning. But here's the problem. What have you done with it? Don't be doing that.
We've always been multicultural. We've always had black folks here, white folks here, Chinese folks here, all kind of folks here.
So what? So what? What are you doing to expand the kingdom? Stop the, oh yeah, we got it, man. You're so weird. Oh man. You guys better start meandering up here, because I could go on with that for a while. We must be willing to go places that we would not normally go in order to minister to thirsty people, which means this. Spiritually hydrated people are those who have reached a place of desperation, looking for meaning and purpose for living. I want you to carry that in your spirits. That's probably where I'm going to end there. I'm going to end with some scriptures, and that'll probably put a little comma here. But first of all, they're seeking a relationship with God. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As a deer pants for water, brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We'll get to that, the other next one. So that's the first one. Okay. People that you meet this week, some of you may be in a position where you see hundreds of people. Maybe you're in a position where you only see a handful of people. But I can guarantee you, amidst the people you're seeing, there are people there thirsty for God. So how do you know? Not only are we just kind of in an unchurched culture, but by the, you know, by what they say, by what they're doing, and sometimes just by the desperation on their face, you'll know they're thirsty for God. What are you going to do about that? Second group I would talk to you about, they're looking for life in the Holy Spirit. Psalm 63:1. He had it up there a moment ago. I'm sorry. There we go. Psalm 63:1. He'll get it. Do, do, do. Okay. Psalm 63:1. There we go. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Here's something that's just very natural. If you start thinking about thirst, I promise you, you will get thirsty. Think about cool water. Think about, you know, a refreshing, you know, whatever it happens. Thirst will come to you. But what about this? They're looking for life in the Holy Spirit. The last one I want to bring to your awareness is they want to be filled with righteousness that only comes from God. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
There are people in this house today that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness right now. Everybody bow your heads. Everybody. And some of you may not have known how thirsty you were until we started with this little quest. About a woman who has had a different day than what she thought she was going to have. I'll tip my hand on a few things about her. The Bible says that she came to the well at the time of day when she thought nobody else would be there. Could have been ashamed, could have been afraid, could have been a number of different things. I won't unpack her story right now, but some of you come to church and there's a thirst within you and you just want to feel better. Or you don't want to feel as bad. Or you want temporary relief from the pain. Or maybe there's things that have been in your life since last week or maybe last night that you don't feel proud of. And so you came to this place to somehow show God that you need relief. I want Christians to start praying for other people in this room because I really feel somebody's heart that says, Pastor, I need Jesus today. When you talk about thirsty people, that's me. I am thirsty for God, but I've messed up so many times. I've tried this before. I don't feel worthy. The devil says I can't make it. But I really need God. When you were calling the name Jesus a few moments ago in worship, somehow there was this shield over my head. It just couldn't get a breakthrough. But right now, if there's any way that Jesus will come into my life, I'll allow that to happen. I'm going to pray for you right now. And for anybody else that may have strayed away from Jesus that says, you know, I need to come back to Jesus today. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, that calms every fear, wipes away all pain. God, would you just speak to that person right now and let them know that they don't have to leave this place thirsty, they don't have to leave this place feeling abandoned, they don't have to leave this place feeling alone. That not only will you come into their life, but Lord, you'll live there forever and they'll be able to have eternal significance. And they'll be able to tell other people because of what you're going to do in their life today. And Lord, for those who for whatever reason have strayed away from you and said, I want to come back home. What I tried, it didn't work. It's more than it didn't work. I just need Jesus in the primary place of my life. And I want to give it over to him right now. If that's you and that's how you feel, I want you to lift your hand real high right now, because if that's you, lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you, sir. Yeah. Anybody else? Because we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I want you to come forward because Jesus designed this service directly for you to make a difference in your life. You can put your hands down for a moment. There's also some people here that's kind of warring with the devil saying, if you make it a few more minutes, you can get out of here and everything will be okay. That's a lie. You'll be facing the same darkness that you're facing before you walked in this room. If you want freedom from that, not to use the already raise your hand, if you're somebody else that's in that situation, lift your hand now because Jesus came to set you free. You don't have to leave in that condition. God can do something for you. Anybody else like that? Because God is able to do it. Thank you very much. Let's all stand to our feet. Those of you that lift your hands, I want you to make your way down this aisle right now. We will applaud the fact of you coming. Step out right now in Jesus' name. Come down here. Let's meet with Jesus today. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Step out in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.